Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. We're two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing their way through life, parenthood, and owning creative businesses. I'm Katie Day, a photographer, comedy writer, and mom of four.
And I'm Shaylee Murphy, a video producer, interior designer, and mom of one.
I beat you.
You beat me. By, like, quadruple.
You beat me quadruple. But who's laughing, really?
Did you beat me?
Exactly.
Did you?
Who's the real winner? Hey guys, before we get into today's episode, we have to pause and thank our amazing sponsor, FreshBooks Cloud Accounting. Now, we're talking about getting organized, and FreshBooks was the best thing I have ever done to organize my business. I'm a pretty good photographer, but I'm not very good at keeping track of numbers. They intimidate me, I hate it, I dread it, I procrastinate it, but no longer with FreshBooks. So it's super easy to use. You can create and send professional looking invoices in less than 30 seconds. I used to do that by hand. It was so much time wasted.
Oh no.
Set up online payments with just a couple clicks and get paid up to 4 days faster. And you can see when your client has seen your invoice and put an end to the guessing game. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our listeners. And to claim it, you just go to freshbooks.com/SK and enter Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
If you want to save time in the kitchen and be more efficient and cook healthy meals for your family, you guys have to check out PrepDish. PrepDish is a meal planning service, and every week they'll send you an email, you'll get a grocery list, a prep ahead schedule, instructions, and everything so that all your meals can be ready to go for the whole week with no guesswork needed. Seriously, guys, PrepDish does all of the planning for you. How many times have you gotten to the grocery store and just kind of wandered around and then decided to make cans of something with rice? Because that's the same thing that you've made for the last decade, because you didn't have time to do a shopping list. Guys, Chef Allison was a personal chef who has turned it into a business so that all of us don't have to go out and hire a personal chef. We can use PrepDish to be our own personal fancy chef. So visit PrepDish.com/SK, where the founder Allison is offering a free 2-week trial to our listeners. You can check it out for free, guys. It's a no-brainer. Go to PrepDish.com/SK.
Hey guys, welcome back to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. Tonight we have Anna Pierce in the house.
Yeah.
Woo woo! She is currently a new freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
She left the corporate world to start her own thing. She is a creative genius multipreneur who specializes in copywriting, photography, product styling, so many things.
So many things.
We'll let her talk about it.
Yeah.
But
she has a blog.
She blogs so hard.
She learns things.
She learns things is her blog. She learns them. She blogs about them.
She takes pictures of them.
She takes pictures of them.
It's Anna Pierce.
She's nodding her head. I think we're nailing this.
We're nailing this.
Anyway, we're going to dive into her story. She has very recently taken the leap, so we're going to hear about what it is like to transition from a stable 9-to-5 paycheck to the crazy...
Zero security.
Yeah. The crazy freelance world. But before we get into that, we actually have to stop and thank our other sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Pumpkin Spice Lattes! Oh my gosh! How has this never been a sponsor?
They contacted us last year, but we were like, fall festival's already contacted us. I feel like we only need one, like, fall specific one.
Yeah. Which means we've been doing this over a year.
It's been over a year.
Oh, that's cute. Pumpkin Spice Lattes. So I'm assuming all of them.
Yeah, they...
all the lattes.
They frequent several coffee shops.
Yes.
Not all the lattes, just pumpkin spice specifically for fall.
Yeah,
pushing
okay,
it.
Cool.
Do they need to though, really?
Yeah, I think they... Yeah, they're good.
They're good.
They're good.
Still, we have to come up with some taglines contractually. Anna, I've heard you've been on a pumpkin spice tour.
I have been. It's been exhausting, actually. Great.
Exhausting.
Spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin-y.
I heard you had a latte hangover the other day. That's a thing.
You did. I actually talked to a barista about that today, and they told me it's a fact that if you are over-caffeinated, you become tired. I didn't fact check it yet.
It's a fact from that one barista.
She's going to learn on her blog.
I talked to this girl maybe like 3 hours ago, but she told me that. And I believed it, and now I'm repeating it.
So I'm just going to send it out to the masses.
Yeah,
So we're almost at 100 countries. I counted today. Does that mean I have no life?
Oh.
Hundreds of countries are going to learn about latte hangovers.
The internet didn't count that for you?
I know. They're not just...
I don't know.
No,
I counted it myself. Okay, so pumpkin spice lattes.
We
just need some taglines.
Pumpkin spice lattes, OMG!
OMG! Is that like the... That's like what just...
what people caption their pictures of. I
think these should all be also Instagram captions.
These are all Instagram captions for pumpkin spice latte. That's good. Okay. Pumpkin spice latte. This is the highlight of my entire year. My entire year. I look forward to only this. Sorry, family and husband.
There is a lot of enthusiasm.
It's a lot. It's like a cult following.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Thanks, pumpkin spice lattes. Thanks,
pumpkin spice lattes. Yeah. Did Starbucks do them first? I feel like we need to.
Yeah, maybe.
Do they?
I think they did. I think they
invented it.
Yeah.
Who's to say? Maybe.
I think so.
Guys, if you're on a Whole 30, you can just put a little pumpkin spice into your coffee and pretend you're participating.
And then spit it out because it's disgusting and not the same as a pumpkin spice latte.
Well, like cinnamon.
A spice in pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Just eat a pumpkin pie if you're on a Whole 30.
Eat a cinnamon cinnamon latte.
You put the pumpkin into your coffee and you just stir it.
Yeah.
Okay. Pumpkin spice lattes. Thank you.
Life hack. Okay. So, Anna, I want to confess to the listeners. You're not a stranger to me and Shaylee. You're actually our friend.
If you haven't noticed from the extremely unprofessional start.
Yeah. So we know a lot about this journey. In fact, we've gotten to see it kind of unfold before our eyes. Mm-hmm. And it's been exciting to watch. But you are a very insightful person. And we want to hear kind of your thought process about taking the leap and the steps you took before, what it has felt like. We just want to hear a bit about your professional journey.
Yeah. And down. I think you made a joke once. Like, if you ever need a guest on the podcast that took the creative leap into entrepreneurship and is still just in the beginning phases of it, not quite sure where it's going to end up, like, you let me know. And we were like, yeah, yes,
exactly.
Please.
Yeah. That's exactly yeah. What
we've had listeners ask for this as well.
So, walk us through the leap.
Okay. So, in a nutshell, I would say everything looks awesome on the internet.
Let's start with the moral.
And the world is a little bit more nuanced at times. Mm. But great, still great, and still awesome. Just more than one hashtag emotion, I think.
just sum it up in an emoji. Just one emoji about the leap.
Just with your face.
With my face, okay.
You'll get it. That was good. It was like a sideways smile?
No, it's like, well, my face doesn't have the trajectory that emojis
do. Paint it yellow.
No, so it's the one with like the two eyes at the bottom and the upside down smile.
Oh, the upside down smile.
It's like the upside down smiley face.
Well, and tell us a little bit about your background too, because I think that that's important into the leap.
Yes.
Just in a nutshell.
So, I went to college. I did the whole graduate with the degree that puts you in the world you want to be in sort of route, and I graduated with an English major, and I wanted to go into a magazine at some point. And growing up, what I loved the most about magazines is you would get some content that was beneficial to your life and helpful, whether you're reading, like, I don't know, 17 or Kinfolk or whatever you're into, you're reading something.
Anna just aged herself for everyone really quick.
Yeah, true.
She's young and beautiful.
True. Okay. I don't know. Okay. So whatever your interests are, I feel like magazines really beautifully combine some helpful or interesting content with artistic expression. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved that about magazines. It's something to me, too, that you can take a break and refresh yourself with. I also really love reading and looking at art type things. So to me, even since I was young, I would make like magazine collages. I always thought they were the best things in that the world produced was magazines. At the same time, I'm really close with my family. I love the Midwest. I love where we live. And I didn't have the burning, aching desire to move to New York City and intern and work my way up a la, like, what's that movie?
Yeah, 13 Going on 30.
No.
How to 10 Things I Hate About You.
Devil Wears Prada.
That was like all of the movies.
Devil Wears Prada is the one I was going for. 13 Going on 30. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. I didn't think about the plot. So yeah, anyway, didn't want that type of movie life. Wanted the nice Midwest life that never makes it onto the movie screen. Instead,
sorry.
Yeah. So.
No, it is now with Ozark. Thanks. Thanks,
oh yeah. Ozark. Yeah, yeah,
thanks,
yeah.
Netflix.
Shout out to Ozark. Anyway, so I started asking myself, can I do this here? I thought, Sure. So I started blogging forever ago in my first job out of college because I thought if I want to ever have a magazine job, I need to learn digital, like anything in the digital world, which my English degree didn't teach me. We read Thoreau and didn't ever, like learned nothing in terms of digital publishing. And like, not to say that the magazine industry is dying because I don't believe that it is, but the digital publishing world is growing.
Right.
So that was something I wanted to learn more about and figure out. So I started blogging. That's why it's called She Learns Things, way back when I needed to learn how to know at least a little like HTML and, you know, all the stuff that somebody cares to know someday in a job. Then I got a magazine job and nobody cared that I knew HTML at all.
You got a magazine job in the Midwest.
I did, in the Midwest. So, holler, they exist. And for a variety of reasons, I didn't feel as fulfilled in my corporate magazine job as I thought that I would. And on the side, meanwhile, I'm learning photography and I'm playing around with like propping and different things that really more so did fulfill the artistic expression of magazines that I really enjoyed. So I started questioning if I could do a little bit of all of these things that I really love and make a career out of it. And it was kind of something I questioned for a long time, and I thought maybe ultimately I would want to be self-employed and do the freelance journey. So anyway, I finally quit my job, and now I'm doing the freelance journey.
She quit. She quit, Mr. White.
You guys.
She quit.
That's great.
That's the thing you do.
Yeah, I knew that.
I didn't know until she did that the other night on another podcast recording, and it burned into my memory.
But before you did that, you probably had a few practical steps you took.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, please say yes.
Yes.
Like, and then I just quit.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I think maybe 10% of the people who are freelance just quit. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the stats on that.
You should ask that barista.
I should ask that barista. She knows everything.
I'm pretty sure the percentage that just quit are the percentage that, like, are working again. Like,
yeah, or they make some big blog post about, it's just like, I quit my job is the thing, and then you click on it.
I closed my business.
Well, then they get, like, all the ads from all everybody clicking to figure out how they quit their job. I don't know. Yeah, no, I definitely didn't do that.
That's what the title of the podcast is going to be.
I quit my job.
She quit her job. Okay.
You'll get all the clicks. I don't know.
We want all the clicks.
I don't know. So, yeah, definitely didn't. I was working on content that I really loved at my corporate magazine job, and then unfortunately, the publisher decided to go a different direction, and they actually ended up closing that magazine, not because it wasn't amazing, just because it wasn't the right fit for their audience. And so the content that I was working on switched to something I was less passionate about, and that was the time when I really started thinking, I need to be doing what I really love and working on content that makes me feel alive. And so I stayed at my corporate job and I started looking for other opportunities to work on content that made me feel alive. So in that matter of time, I got my foot in the door with a few other publications that I was interested in, and I started freelancing. And
so, like, online publications.
Yes, and print publications.
And print publications, okay. Yes. So you might be getting into this, but we've heard the slow version of this journey, and it wasn't anyone listening and like, they make it sound so easy. From the moment that you were like, I think I'd like to go out on my own and do my own thing, to actually doing it.
It was a long time. Okay. So what I did was I got my foot in the door with those few publications, which was awesome, and a huge benefit. I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't start way back then. So from point A to they switch the content I'm working on at work to I start freelancing on other projects was maybe about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started freelancing on other projects, I think I bought a cute little lamp with my first freelance check as like a pat on the back, like, good job, you earn this lamp. And after that, I opened I opened a separate bank account and I put all the money from every freelance job I had from that point into that bank account.
Yeah. That's so smart.
So I was working my 9 to 5 and then I would go home and I would either write more content or on the weekends I would do photography or prop styling or different things. And it was probably almost exactly a year from when I started freelancing for other people until I ended up leaving and freelancing full-time for myself.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How much of your, you don't have to say specifics, obviously, but how much of your income were you generating from freelance, like percentage-wise, before you quit? Was it like, when I get 25% of what I'm currently making, then I'll quit my job? Did you have anything like that?
I didn't have a percentage, but I had a, when I get a consistent contract with someone that gives me some form of stability, then I'll quit my job. Mm-hmm. So it didn't, I was flexible on whether or not that contract took up, say, like 75% of my time or 25% of my time, because I had a few other irons in the fire. But the main thing I wanted was something consistent to know that every month I'll make at least this amount. Even if it's not my goal, then I'll have something that's guaranteed. Because, I mean, when you're freelancing, some months are great and yeah. some months are less great. And so I wanted to know that even on the less great months, I would at least be making
enough
something
to eat and pay your house bill. Yeah.
Something, and not just like, this month isn't great, and now I literally have nothing coming right. in. You know, so it was, I wanted something consistent. Yeah. So when I ended up leaving my job, I found something consistent. I had an upcoming publication, like a blog, that reached out to me about being a consistent writer for them. And that was what gave me the security and the confidence to know that I'll have this contract, you know, from mm-hmm. month to month. So
I have a question. Talk about, because you also had another fun little Easter egg side fun note, that you have like a booth. And when I say booth, I think people think of like antique store booth, but like you have, like, you sell products and buy, you go to like market and buy products and have like a section in this really cute like home goods gift store that's you weren't necessarily taking money out of that business. But like, explain a little bit about that, because that's kind of a different way that you had an option to diversify what you're doing too. Is that the same
that's
as it was?
True. Yeah, I still do that. That is probably the weirdest hobby that I have because...
Break it down.
Yeah, so there's a shop in our hometown that has different sections that have different vendors. It's kind of themed like a flea market, but all
Think like Magnolia Home-y.
Yeah, like all the products are new, and you wouldn't... If you walked in, you wouldn't know that the different vendors own different parts of the store, but... That's the way it is. And my mom has been part of the store for years and years and years, probably like 15 years plus. I basically grew up in the store, which was cool. And about 2.5 years ago, there was an opening in the shop, and my mom called me about it and told me. And she said, if you want to try this, it's a great way to try it. And so I do have my toe in the water of retail. We go to market and we buy products and we come back and put them in the store, which is something that I considered a little bit when taking the jump to full-time freelance, but it's still really kind of just a weird hobby at this point.
Yeah. But if you wanted to put more time into it, you could develop that.
If I wanted to, I could. When I looked at what would pay me the best for the time invested right. and be the thing I enjoyed the most.
That's right.
That didn't rise to the top at first.
Digital selling a product.
Yeah.
has a cost if it's a physical product. That's the thing Katie and I have talked about on here before. But when you look at like the hours, you're like, wait, so it's all of these hours, then my overhead is $13 yeah. and I sell the product for $26.
Right.
Minus the amount I paid for it equals not as much as I could pay if I already have all the equipment.
Right.
And just I'm charging for an hour of my brain.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Cool.
I do a little product photography, and every time I'm pricing a product for the store, I look at it and I'm like, if I took the photos for this instead of sold it to someone else, it would definitely be more profitable. But
yeah. No, that's good. Okay.
But what a learning experience to learn how to be a buyer.
And, it's been a huge learning experience, and I wouldn't give it up for the world, and I love it, and it's super valuable, but it's, just kind of a weird hobby right now.
I'm going to ask you about something, because the same thing happened to me when I decided to take the leap. So I decided to take the leap, and then the place that would have been my dream job contacted me, and they were like, we're hiring people. I think I've told this story, but anyway, basically, we're hiring, but we haven't told anyone. We want you. Are you interested? Mm-hmm. And it was like an existential crisis where I was like, this is horrible that I have so many good decisions, good options on the table. But it was this sort of like, I'm an idiot. I can't say no. Like, I can't say no. Can I? Can I say no? And then I was like, no. And I was like, was that dumb? Like, did I make a dumb decision? And down the road, I realized it's not. But without getting into specifics, you had something that would be a lot of people's dream job.
Yeah, that same exact thing happened to me.
And they were like, hey, we heard you have more free time, like all of it.
Yeah, and I cried in a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
I read the email in a Mexican restaurant and cried right then and there, which was not my best moment. The waiter probably just thought I was in a fight with my fiancé or something.
Also equally as awkward.
Yeah, I don't know. And then I said no, and then I didn't regret it 70% of the days since, and did regret it 30% of the days since.
Yeah, and there's not necessarily, like, we're not saying, like, no one can ever work for anyone, but it is, I mean, if you have the skills that it takes to make it owning your own creative business, chances are you're also going to be a really great employee that someone's going to want. You're a self-starter, you're someone who can manage themselves, you're someone who's talented, so there will always be people who are probably wanting to hire you, and that's also a really hard thing, unless it's like the perfect client, or they'll hire you on contract basis, or they'll let you have flexibility, because a lot of times they don't want that. If they're paying you enough, then they want to like own you, and of course I would too. So that's kind of the hard thing, is knowing your direction and your goal and being able to stick to it even when really, really good opportunities come along, and dealing with like the, could I have done that? Should I have done that?
I've definitely learned that, and that saying no to really good opportunities because you want something else more doesn't feel good 100% of the time, because it's still a great opportunity that you're saying no to, which I think when I wanted to go freelance, I idealized it as in, I'll be working for myself, and then I'll have no problems with work, or no sadness or feelings, or whatever. But it's still like, it's still hard to turn down good opportunities, or still, it's definitely a journey. And I'm definitely now at the beginning of the journey compared to hopefully where I'll be a year from now, or, even longer than that.
How long have you been out now on your own, out of the pen?
Oh, about 6 months, but I got engaged like 5 days before I quit my job, which threw a major kink in my career plans in terms of, not really, but I've been kind of distracted with wedding planning, so that I've been...
It's like you got an additional part-time job.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so there have been days that I'm harder on myself about, I haven't achieved as many career goals as I want to right now in these last 6 months, but then I have achieved more planning wedding goals than
anticipated.
Yeah, so that's great.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk a little bit about tips for people who are making the transition from working. Your hours were like, what, 8 to 4:30? 7:30 to 4:30?
8 to 4:30.
With like very limited lunch break. Talk about your experience going from that to working from your house or wherever you work from.
It's weird. It's so different than obviously like waking up and having to be there at 8:30 or 9 and being afraid that you're going to get in trouble if you're not there at 8:30 or 9, because there's never anybody to get me in trouble, and that's a really motivating factor mm-hmm. to be somewhere. Yeah, so I've learned to motivate myself in other ways, and one thing that I learned took me a little bit longer than I thought it would to realize this, but I'm an extrovert, and even though my job wasn't the perfect fit for me, I gained a lot of energy from seeing people every day who weren't just like myself in the mirror at my house.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Keep going.
So, since realizing I'm an extrovert and I'm more productive and a better employee for myself when I see other people, I've changed my habits a lot, which has been good. So I have a friend who I started a little mastermind thing with, and...
Wait, what's that? Is that something we should know? Mastermind thing?
It's like a thing in the preneur world, entrepreneur world or whatever.
Basically, sorry, everyone. I don't know what that is.
I'm probably not the best at it or to explain it, but from my understanding, you find someone who has not the exact same business as you, but something where you can understand each other's lives and such. Mm-hmm. And then you talk to them weekly, and then you talk about how your business is going.
Wait,
and
so
what
Katie.
Your goals are.
Katie.
Yeah.
Business okay. bestie.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I found sometimes mastermind groups are bigger, like even up to 6 people, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, I found a friend. She's great. She and another girl together own a company called EO and Such. Ooh. And they do really cute like trading cards about essential oils, like flashcards, basically.
Okay,
so you
cool.
can see like at a quick glance what an oil does, and so it usually says like what it's good for on it.
Ooh.
So they have like a really, really cute business, and so we Skype every Monday morning at 8 a.m. so
for creatives, that's like woo.
Yeah, so it's something that really motivates me to get up at 8 a.m. on a Monday, and then I talk to another person, which fuels my energy, and then usually that like
goal setting
gets
for your
me
week.
Sailing yeah. the rest of the day. Usually my Mondays are the most productive just because I start on that high note. And so after I feel energized by seeing another person and talking to another person, I can get so many more things checked off my day just because I feel renewed from that.
That's so good. It's solopreneur so good. Accountability.
Yeah.
Straight off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That someone's waiting for it.
It's been good.
I'll call you at 8 a.m. next Monday morning. I want in.
No, you have to Skype. That's the thing. Well, here, that's what's motivating for me is...
They see you.
Yes. I'm good enough friends with this girl that if we both Skype without makeup on, haven't showered, it's totally fine, which we have done. But it also motivates me of, I should get up around 7 and then she'll think I'm pretty today. And,
right.
You know,
totally.
I'm sorry, I'm having technical difficulties. My video's not working.
Right.
Maybe my audio. Sorry. Okay.
Well, we've done that too. So.
I love that. And also, I feel like the way you're describing it with such intentionality,
mm-hmm.
like it sounds like you have given yourself full permission and you value that. Whereas some people might think like, oh, I've already wasted an hour of my 8-hour workday just talking to someone. Like, you're like, no, this is very intentional.
Right.
And it's an investment. It's an energy investment because it's going to produce more work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's so smart because I could see myself, like, without labeling it that, I could see myself being like, I'm bored. I'm going to call Shaylee.
Right.
And instead it's like an appointment.
No, this is
it
intentional.
It has an objective. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
What else?
I started bullet journaling. Have you guys?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No,
I watched so many YouTube
videos. Okay,
yeah.
Guys, I didn't know about the mentoring mob or whatever. And
you should listen to some podcasts.
I didn't know anything about the bullet point journaling. I feel
bullet
like
journaling.
I make bullets in a lot of notes.
That's
oh, bullets.
What's
yeah.
Yeah, like just points, bullet points.
So there's a website. There's a website for it, and a guy invented it. I don't know his name or anything, but it's basically a way of scheduling your calendar and your to-do list all in one notebook. So you set your appointments for the day and also your to-dos for the day at the same time, so you can cross them out and achieve more.
If you
I've
are
achieved so much more.
Really?
Oh
okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh yeah.
I've achieved so it's just oh it got a
if
look
you're
an
analog lover, like if you're like I just can't do digital, I have to pen to paper.
Right, I should have said this.
This is probably the best way to do that and get everything in one place so you're not just constantly looking for... Well, it's a system.
It's a system.
Oh, okay. It's not a saleable product.
No.
It's a system of a way of thinking as you're writing them.
Yep.
Yes.
So they would go in tandem, basically.
You could bullet journal.
You could bullet journal in the get to work book.
Probably.
Okay, sorry. I'm being very literal. I'm getting a look. We're moving on.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
Bullet journaling is interesting. So, but being intentional with the way you are planning your day.
Has been helpful. For sure. I also go to coffee shops sometimes and say, while I'm at this coffee shop, seeing these random people, because I'm an extrovert, mm-hmm. I plan to get X one thing done.
I'm not leaving until I get it done.
I say I'm not leaving until I get it done. The other thing that helps me, too, on the days that I'm not Skyping with my friend is the, like, eat the frog tactic.
Yep.
Where you do the thing you want to do the least first, and then...
Should I leave?
You feel more empowered.
Because I feel like you guys, like, Katie's like, eat the frog.
Eat the frog.
Mastermind.
Eat the frog. You have said that on the podcast before.
Yeah, and you were like, don't say that. Say eat the... It's like, it's called
I said something different. You're like, that's what it is, Shaylee. I'm just naturally gifted at entrepreneurship. I don't need all that extra fancy stuff.
So let's talk about eating the frog, because I think that's so good. Okay, explain eat the frog in case they didn't hear the last.
So basically, the thing that you definitely really, really, really don't want to do... You do that first, and then it's done, and then
released.
You do all the other things.
Yes. So instead of saying,
bookkeeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of saying, or as I used an example in the other episode, I hate making phone calls. I don't know why. I'm an extrovert, and I, like, very much enjoy talking.
So if Katie's ever on the phone with you, you know she's hating every minute of it.
No. Usually, literally, it just takes saying hello, and it's fine. Again, it's just more like I dread...
dialing the number.
Yeah, I don't even know.
It's because you're a people pleaser, and then I go through, like, what if it's a bad time for them? Should I text them first? Should I email them and see what range is good for them?
Yeah. Right.
It's because everybody hates receiving phone calls. You don't want to be the bad part of their day.
Yeah. Or just, given you know, what to do. There's unknown. Like, you don't know how long it's going to take, or if they have a question that you're not prepared to answer or whatever. I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. It's kind of strange. And it normally is never a big deal. But if that's on my to-do list, I'll feel... That's what I was trying to explain. Yeah. I'll actually feel the weight of it the longer I procrastinate it. And it's like, it's almost like you can't quite pinpoint it, but you're like, something about today feels heavier. Mm-hmm. And so if you just do it and then you check that off, all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's light now. So you can
get it? Take the leap? We've connected it all. She took the leap.
Like a leapfrog?
Yes. From her job. She ate the frog. Thanks, Anna, for explaining that for Katie. We're not in sync tonight.
I know. It's
okay. I feel like Anna's the bridge between us.
That's good.
I'm like in a good way.
Happy to be here.
Happy to be here. So, yeah, that's a great tip. And then I also kind of want to circle back to the coffee shop thing, because we kind of talked about this the other day. So there's a difference. Extroverts, I think, sometimes get assumed that they are, like, constantly engaging with people.
Right.
So like, I wouldn't want to sit by an extrovert on a plane, or they'll talk your ear off. That's not necessarily true. Like, I mean, there are plenty of times where I want to be very anonymous on a plane.
Yeah, don't talk to me on a plane.
Exactly.
I wait until the end, because I know once you start, it's not stopping. So if you start engaging at the beginning, it's going to be the whole flight.
It is the whole flight.
Right. And maybe some people are like that, but I think it's important to point out that, like, extroverts receive energy just by being around people.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go work the room or talk to each person or get to know somebody, but literally you can feel an energy rise just by being in a public place.
Yeah. Humans.
Humans. And, like, and I hate to say it, sometimes when you catch little eavesdropping things, you're like, this is really interesting. I'm interested. Which is why I love podcasts.
First date is the best.
It's basically eavesdropping. Yes. I love people,
like,
on dates.
Petition for more first dates on, like, Monday afternoon so I can hear them.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that is a good thing to point out, that you deciding to go work at a coffee shop doesn't necessarily mean, like, I'm an extrovert, so I need to really sit down and have a 30-minute conversation with the barista before I engage.
Right.
No, it's just kind of like being in the world, being seen, being visible, not being completely alone in your tiny little home office.
Or even if I do errands, like have to run an errand for a blog post I'm shooting, I'll do it first thing in the morning now instead of waiting till the afternoon, because it helps me to see, like, even if I'm going to Target and seeing other people,
right.
I don't necessarily talk to anybody there, but it makes me feel better.
Yes.
Yeah, and I find scheduling things like that at the very beginning of your day until the end, especially if it's kind of like the middle.
Mm-hmm.
If it's at the end, you can be like, I need to get all these things done. But if it's at the beginning, like, you're ready for the day, mm-hmm. your hair's done, your makeup's done, you have an outfit on, you're out the door,
right.
and you do something, and then you're like going.
Yeah.
You're out of that like tired-y slump of like, maybe I'll have coffee longer this morning before I mentally get ready to start my day.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So,
I thought working from home was going to be like, I wake up at 7 every day, and then I have this like beautiful yoga routine, right? And then I make breakfast and eat like eggs and avocado and all that stuff. And I never do that, and if I did, it would probably take me until noon because I'd just be lollygagging the whole time.
Right.
So
you'd be posting that.
I'd be Instagramming.
So what have you learned?
Playing Words with Friends.
What's the most shocking thing you've learned, or the best, like, what's the most different or the best thing you've learned since?
The most shocking thing I've learned?
That's a very dramatic question.
Yeah.
Shock
probably
us.
I think the routine of everything, like I was talking about, because I think there's some idealized view of entrepreneurs or stay-at-home work people on the internet where they just are so zen and only ever stay in their house, and that's fine, but those people are probably introverts and do it better than I do. So I think that's been the shocking thing. It was like hard for me to realize why I didn't feel like I was doing as well with it at first. And then I was like, oh, because I'm spending way too much time in this little house by myself or loft and not actually seeing other people.
Yeah.
So I would say that's probably it. As far as I'm a really goal-oriented person and self-motivated person, so I haven't had as much of a hard time with being my own boss, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had a hard time realizing, like, self-care in the work, you know, in the freelance world is different for me than I thought it would be.
Yeah. That's good. And I think it's good that it looks different. I think a lot of times people are looking for the cookie cutter answer of what does it look like? Tell me what to do every single day.
Right.
And it's not for everyone. And I feel like everyone who does it, it looks different for each person because each person is so different.
Yeah, for sure.
To where there's tons of people who are like, I could never work from home.
Yeah.
Which maybe they could once they're doing it or whatever. But to me, it just gets to the point where it feels just like any other job to where, I mean, I get in the zone and need to get stuff done and can work really dedicated out of my house and ignore the laundry if I need to.
That's true.
I would say too, like, it's kind of interesting because you are your own boss, but you also freelance for companies.
Clients.
So
that's
yeah.
true
for clients. So then there's kind of that learning curve of like, I'm in charge of me, but I'm also still answering to someone. Like, because if I don't answer to them, I don't get money. Like, I don't get paid. And so I think what's weird in like the photography world is a lot of times the client isn't going to give me a deadline. And so as someone who is very deadline driven, that was a weird thing to navigate for me. I don't know if you've experienced that at all of like, just because it's due on Friday doesn't mean I don't need to probably have first round done on Tuesday afternoon or whatever, like making your own deadlines for yourself.
Yeah.
But what I
feel like all my clients give me deadlines.
I was going to say, I always got a deadline and it's always yesterday.
Yeah.
But you're right. Photography's like, when will it be done, Katie?
Photography is a little different in that way.
So what helped me, just if anyone's like in that boat, is I have to create a deadline and tell someone.
Right.
Otherwise it's a fictitious deadline that I made up in my brain that I can procrastinate forever. So often I will tell people at a shoot, this will be done by this time on this day, and
I
schedule it.
Yeah. Once you put it in writing.
Right.
I do that with all my photography, as I say, you can expect to have these by this day because it, like, you know, helps you know when to do it.
It helps you. And if you say, it'll be a few weeks, and it's vague, you're probably going to take a few weeks before
you're probably
going to
take 3 weeks and not 1 week.
And say, well, I was one
three
specific.
Is still a few.
So it sounds like just being very specific and intentional with your planning has been helping you too. Did you have any regret right away? Like, where you were like, uh-oh, this wasn't quite the feeling I thought I was going to have.
I would say I was more scared before I took the leap. And then afterward, I felt really liberated and excited about it. But one thing I definitely thought about a lot in that season, especially in that really fresh transition season, is courage and how people always talk about courage after somebody's achieved some beautiful thing or like killed a lion or, you know, whatever. That, you know what I mean? It's that something that takes courage was never scary in the first place. They just make it seem like, and then you did it. Like,
the success
cool.
story at the end
right.
of it.
Right. It's just always the rose-colored glasses of it was all perfect. And so for a while, it was really scary, the idea of it for sure and all of that. But then since I've been in the thick of it, I think I've more taken things as they've come and been able to flex better with now I know what's the reality, and it's not as scary as maybe it'll be this or maybe it'll be that. And so even if it's better or worse than the maybe I had in my mind, it's at least real, and I know how to deal with it now.
Yeah. And you're in control of it. Yeah. I feel like a lot of, it's the illusion of control or feeling like you have something stable, but at the end of, I mean, you can gear it however you want, and you can guide it towards this, or if you enjoy doing more digital blog posting, or if you enjoy more of the product photography or the styling.
Definitely.
You can kind of say yay or nay to clients that you want. You can adjust your prices based on that. And your fiance is also self-employed.
Yes, he is. He owns a video production company. Like Shaylee and her husband owned similar.
Her husband's real good.
They do similar things, but yeah, I'm really proud of them, and it's been really interesting to together learn how to do work-life balance when we're both self-employed. Yeah. So that's one thing. Yeah, we are really practicing not working on the weekends ever, but he's going to the Philippines this weekend, so he failed this time.
Yeah. I was like, have fun with that.
We'll let that slide. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. The glory is that there will be times when you work through the weekend, but there will also be times on Monday afternoon when you're getting yourself a pumpkin spice latte at a coffee shop. So kind of balances out.
Yeah.
Listen to that.
Jonathan and I haven't done that in a long time. That sounded really profound, but we haven't done that in a long time.
I'm planning on getting two pumpkin spice lattes tomorrow, so maybe I'll invite him for one of them.
Who has the best one so far? Can you tell us? Is that privileged information? This probably won't release until you're done with it and you've announced.
Oh, well, okay. In that case, my current favorite is Kingdoms.
Local.
Which I feel...
good stuff.
A little biased toward them, but they make all their pumpkin spice mix in-house, which really impresses me, and it tasted the most... like actual coffee and not just like this drink is as orange as my sweater, because that's how the Starbucks one looks to me.
We'll bleep it.
Slander.
I love you, Starbucks.
Okay, so do you have any advice for someone who might be listening who is thinking about the leap but is a little bit lacking the courage?
Start a bank account before you just don't think you know how much money you'll make, and have, I mean, to me, honestly, having the savings of I worked for a whole year and I freelanced on top of it was practical because it got my foot in the door with the people I wanted to work with. And I had a safety net for if I needed it when, like, the first couple of months of freelancing sometimes are really, really great and you're way too busy. And then sometimes it's harder to like tie together as many clients and, you know, that kind of thing.
How many months did you have saved up? Of living expenses-ish.
Probably 4 to 6.
Oh, that's
nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really, you did take your time. And then random question, do they charge you to open up a separate bank account? Or if you already bank with them?
No.
It's been so long since I've done it.
Really?
Yeah,
no, I have like a ton of bank accounts because I have... No, I really do.
For the
like
drug money.
For the market, the booth.
Oh, right, right.
I have one that I just put taxes in so that I don't accidentally spend them. Have one that I pay my bills out of. I have one that I put my freelance money
in.
That's
not
my real money.
I like that.
Vacation no, I'm really...
fund.
I'm vacation not a vacation fund. Maybe I should prioritize that.
I have
that.
One. It's zero.
$0.
I have like a little bowl of change next to my bed.
A vacation
fund. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Anything else? Any other questions we got? We're going to have you back on.
I know, after
when your blog has a million readers. That's okay. What we said.
Your 1 year anniversary, you're going to tell us how two freelancers prioritize marriage.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, we'll both come on and we'll talk about it.
About like, you don't. You don't. Just kidding. It can happen.
I would also like to say, I shouted out Anna in a previous episode because Shaylee says, what have you been doing in the car line when you wait to pick up your kids? And I said,
Words with Friends with Anna.
She's so good.
Anna has a literary background.
Thanks.
And Shaylee goes, I would never play Words with Friends with Anna. Never. That's just Anna. Forfeiting.
That would be like playing the computer.
Yeah, basically.
You played like a pregnancy-related term.
Fetal.
Yeah.
Fetal.
I was like, this is all I got.
20 points.
This is all I got. Okay.
Dilation.
So we are just in time for our segment. Anna is recently engaged, but she's also very soon getting married.
Very soon.
Shortish engagement.
Shortish.
They got engaged in a bicycle museum, a historical bicycle museum.
Yes, very beautiful. It's a cute love story. We'll post a picture of
engagement. Pics.
This
has a big old beard.
Segment is called Hipster Weddings. Okay, so we're going to give you a challenge.
We're not saying that you are one, Anna.
No, we're just saying that you could style one beautifully. So we're going to
She's wearing overalls and a billowy, like, beautiful
Yeah,
shirt.
I am. I dress the part tonight.
She dressed the part. Okay.
This is audio
only.
You
didn't talk about my side
brain. She's side brain. Yeah. So we want to combine your prop styling with your wedding planning. And we're just going to give you some objects and see if you can make a centerpiece out of them.
Okay.
All right. So, Shaylee, you say an object. I'll say an object. We'll just kind of randomly spit these out. Okay.
Flower crown.
Flower crown? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Vinyl record.
Glasses. Old glasses.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. Vintage camera that does work.
Am I supposed to go now?
No.
Just,
oh, you're still going. Okay.
We're building it.
Wagon wheel. I should write
wheel.
A list.
Wagon wheel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then one more. Let's see. How about like a
quilt?
Okay.
Feeling like a quilt.
A quilt. Okay. Can I'm you turn it, that
we're
into
setting you up for success?
Okay.
Can you turn that into a wedding motif?
Yeah.
Okay. So it tells
that
so
it sounds like so it sounds like it's an outdoor wedding to me.
Oh. Okay.
No, it's in an old church.
Stop
it's
it.
On, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The reception's actually in the pews. So
in the pews?
Right. It's new. It's a new thing. You wouldn't know. You're younger than I am.
Okay. It can be outdoor. It can be outdoor.
Okay.
I mean, whatever.
So what I'm thinking is for the centerpiece, are these round tables, long tables?
It's a hipster wedding. What do you think?
Hipster wedding.
They're
okay.
sitting on pillows
so
on the floor.
So they're long. They're sitting on pillows on the floor outside, on the outside floor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's twinkle lights coming from the trees.
Yes, I like it.
Okay. The big ones with Edison bulbs.
Right.
I truly, really enjoy big twinkle lights. Mm-hmm. So I think the centerpiece is going to be the floral crown is actually oversized, so it goes around the record player.
Right.
So
right.
It's kind of like nice. The record, picture the record player is almost like a charger, and the floral crown is its, you know, exterior.
The charger and the floral. Okay.
And then on top of the record player, that's where you have the vintage glass bottles, but they all have candles inside.
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
go
like
on.
Votives. How did you get the candles inside of the bottles?
Well, the bottles have open tops.
Okay, so they're tiny, thin candles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah, like, and then what are my other props?
You've got a wagon wheel.
Oh, the quilt. Mm-hmm. So the quilt is the backdrop for the photo booth.
Love it.
And
we have glasses.
The photo booth is in the old VW van.
Can I throw a hitch in your wheel? When I said
in my
glasses,
wagon, in my wagon wheel?
In your wagon wheel? When I said glasses, I meant physical
you
face.
You meant spectacles?
Face glasses. Spectacles.
Spectacles?
I'm sorry. Spectacles. Oh. You can put candles inside the spectacles.
When you said glass, I understand the confusion
right,
of
vintage
how,
glasses.
How the candles didn't go
that
in the glasses.
That could have gone either way. That could have gone either way.
All right, so I'm going to say the glasses are props for the photo booth.
Oh! Perfect. Is the quilt the backdrop you said?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
And there's a vintage camera that works, so is that where we're taking the photo?
That's the photo, yeah.
Anna, we just planned your wedding!
Woo! Congratulations!
You got your life back.
Be $200.
An hour. And it took us a long time to plan that beforehand.
You need $200,000, right?
$200,000.
I'm no stranger to
wedding
planning.
We'll bill you. We'll bill you. We expect a payment sharp 8 a.m. Monday morning.
Okay.
We know
I'm writing it down in my bullet journal.
Hold on, let me bullet that really quick.
Let me bullet that.
Let me bullet.
Okay. good.
So Anna, thanks for being on the podcast.
She's our friend in real life. Welcome to Anna.
Welcome to Anna.
Annie.
It's also known as, it's Anna, actually.
You guys.
It's over. Okay. I'm sorry. Until there's nothing.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Also, feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Seriously. We love you.
Let's not pretend, but we actually have audio of the live birth.
Oh, yes.
From yesterday.
Okay.
October 2nd.
Yes.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and replay that for a second. Okay.
Okay, you're my doctor, right?
Hello, Catherine.
Yes.
Catherine Finstermaker Day. breathe through it.
Yes.
I'm going to leave. I'm going to come back in about 30 seconds before you push this baby out.
What do you do
and
all
then
day?
And then I'm going to bill you. So I'll be right back. Okay. Hi, Katie. I'm the nurse. How are you doing?
You're new. You just switched shifts again.
Yeah.
I don't know
sorry.
You.
Sorry. We have families of our own.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. That's reasonable.
Okay. I was here for 12 hours. Give me a break.
That's true. It just was blurry to me.
Okay. So we're just going to go ahead and let you eat and drink nothing.
Okay.
Okay, so
that sounds like that'll give me strength to do the hardest thing I'll ever have to do.
Just be comfortable.
Okay.
Be comfortable. You can't have ice chips. Just be comfortable.
Okay. Could I move a little?
No.
Okay.
No, we're gonna make you stay here.
Cool.
Your husband though is eating like a hot Chipotle wrap.
The Chipotle looks so good.
Like right in front of you. So just thanks for that, Jared. Just enjoy it.
Cool. Well, I mean, should I push?
Let me check. Whoa! You're a 10. You're handling it like a champ.
Thanks, epidurals.
This episode is brought to you by epidurals. You joke. You're forced to come fast and furious, and you may not be able to get one.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I'm in a field.
I'm going to count to three.
I have very few epidurals at home.
I'm going to count to three, and you're going to push. Ready?
Okay.
One, two, three. She's here!
I always sing out my babies.
That's good. She's here and she's glowing.
Where?
She's already latched. Congratulations.
That was fun. Thanks for letting me reminisce about
and
yesterday.
And she's beautiful.
Yeah.
Which is what we'll say either way.
Possibly.
I mean, so we're safe.